Hello, and welcome to the Sermon Podcast from Logos Community Church.
Good morning once again. Did we survive, for many of you, the first week back in school? Yeah, maybe, maybe not. Some of you going back in the next week or so. Anyway, glad that you are here this morning. Really excited what we're going to talk about. Before we get into this week's message, though, a quick review. If you weren't here last week, if you played hooky on us, here's the message in 10 seconds. All hands on deck. Everybody finding a place or two on the rope and pulling in this mission that God has given us. Families with small kids on the rope. Seniors and retirees on the rope. Teenagers on the rope. Singles on the rope. Everybody finding a place. And so I'm going to ask you when you leave, if you missed last week, or if you're one of those that said, hey, you know, I'm gonna take this home and pray about it. Well, we're praying that you did, and now this week, you're ready to put your name in a slot. There'll be tables out back to collect those of you who did not get a chance last week. Again, we said here, there is no 80-20 rule. That long-standing rule that in an organization, 20% of the people do 80% of the work. Here, we're shooting for a 100-100 rule. All right, everybody doing their part. That said, I'm really excited what we're going to talk about this morning. Mission San Benito. My wife came up with this. You see the purple there? That's the Resaca City. That's awesome. I'm going to be joined by two other brothers, Steve Leston and Nathan Forbes. And I know some of y'all are already doing the math. Wait, three preachers? Man, we won't get out of here till noon. We have a little challenge. There's a time limit that we're all going to try to stick to. And I'm just making this up right now that the loser has to buy lunch this week. I'm afraid, I'm just going to tell you, I might lose. But anyway, what's that? After the introduction. Give me a minute. My time has not started. Put the picture of the Forbes up right there. So we're going to talk about, and Nathan's going to wrap up today, but this is a family that for us, for you and I, is moving in, has moved into San Benito, and you're going to hear why they've moved and why we're partnering with them, and just super excited about this whole thing. And really answer the question, why church planting? If you don't know, we are focused and zealous about church planting here at Logos. We started as a church plant. We're part of Acts 29 that is a church. It's a diverse global church planting organization. Over 800 churches this summer that we got up to. All over the world, 52 countries, 31 languages. And really exists to recruit, assess, and develop church planters all over the world. Churches in what we call unreached areas, where there is no ready access to the gospel. I mean, that may involve chopping the brush down to get into a place where there's no church, but also churches like in places like Harlingen or Austin or Nashville, places where I might call, this is my term, misreached areas, places where there is still need for gospel-centered churches. I just want you to know also that, you know, you can say sometimes that something is important to you, and sometimes people say, well, prove it. We, you and I, we have given already about $30,000 in our, like, 7 years to church planting. Most of that went to what was at that time Logos Community Church Edinburgh, and now has, because of some relationships, has become BT Edinburgh. And then we have saved 9% from day one, 9% of everything we've ever taken in. And so in the bank right now, we have about $92,000 sitting there for the next church plants. Not using it for our building. Not using it for all kind of stuff that we could use it for. It is reserved and waiting on and will be used for San Benito and beyond. And so real quickly, why do we plant churches? You may say, hey, there are plenty of churches. Some of them are empty or near empty. You may say new churches are just going to take from existing churches that are struggling. Why don't we just help those churches? And people that study this find is that new churches, first of all, they help the city that they're in, but they also help existing churches in an area. Tim Keller actually goes as far to say this: nothing else, not crusades, outreach programs, parachurch ministries, growing megachurches, congregational consulting, nor church renewal processes will have the consistent impact of dynamic, extensive church planting on existing churches. They are good for the areas they're in. They are good for the churches they're in. You know that churches with purpose, churches on mission, churches that are pruned through the constant multiplication, sending out resources, sending out people, they are healthy churches. We know this from Scripture that individuals that are pruned, organizations that are pruned, they end up being healthy and not withering and dying. And so in here, we just all have to know this is going to be the primary missional effort of this church. Acts 29, this organization that we're in, says we see the local church as God's primary mission strategy. And so this affects the decisions we made. Pastor Chris and I, we will sometimes have to say no to a very good missional effort that's going to do something overseas because it is a little out of our focus of church planting. And those are tough decisions, but we believe the best opportunity for the gospel in another place is quickly gathering believers in a missional community that leads to a church plant. So that's kind of practically why we plant churches. But in my remaining time, I just want to talk about foundationally. Like those are good. Okay, healthy churches. We want healthy churches. We want people. But why? And so I want to read quickly for you Psalm 67. This is going to be the foundation for why we're doing what we do. And this is how the psalmist writes: may God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face to shine upon us, that your way may be known on earth, your saving power among all nations. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you judge the peoples with equity and guide the nations upon earth. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. The earth has yielded its increase. God, our God, shall bless us. God shall bless us. Let all the ends of the earth fear him. The psalmist is asking for God's grace. He's asking and acknowledging God's blessings. To what end, though? Do you notice sometimes I think it's important what's not said? He's not asking, Lord, how might we take your blessings to go feed the world? How might we take your blessings to go give clean water to the world? How might we take your blessings to go liberate the oppressed? All of which are biblical, all of which are necessary, all of which are worthy endeavors that we should join with. But what is his motivation? The motivation is that God's way might be known on the earth, that God's saving power, it will be known among the nations, that people from all those nations will praise God. Listen, let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Let all the ends of the earth fear him. It's as if the psalmist says, we just want people to know you, God, like we know you, and they will praise you. That's the motivation. It's the glory of God that motivates the psalmist. It is also the glory of God that motivates the church planter. It is the glory of God that motivates this church to plant other churches aggressively. The true follower of Jesus, the true church, deeply desires to see others join in worship of our great God. To see the fame and the name of Jesus spread everywhere. And so specifically for us, we want to recruit people. and train church planters, people who want to help in this effort. We want to form and train and mobilize and send and fund people that will build missional communities in other places, that will lead to churches that will plant churches. A couple of years ago, I remember kind of lamenting, because I can get impatient. I remember saying to Pastor Chris, man, we're in the organization that is aggressively wanting to plant churches. You and I, we're in lockstep. We're saving money that is just a, you know, incredible for a small church. We just knew that we needed to be patient and God would bring the pieces. And so as you get ready to hear from these next two men, I think you're going to get to see how God has answered our call. First, Steve Leston is going to share, there's a little mission agency just 20 minutes down the road that desires to help churches plant churches. And Steve shows up and says, yeah, I happen to be the president, but I'm a church guy. I love the local church. And you know when sometimes someone says something like that, you think, man, praise God, but you're like, I want to see. And then several weeks later, as his wife was running Vacation Bible School, I saw him serving all week with like the third grade boys. And like, if you want to take one for the team, serve with the third grade boys all week. And then I see Nathan and Rebecca that come through that training at To Every Tribe and say, hey, man, we could go a lot of places. We want to help you guys do this, help you aggressively plant missional communities that will lead to church plants. And so I don't want to steal any more of their thunder. I also want to hopefully not have to buy lunch. So with that, Steve, why don't you come up and share your piece, brother?
I have a little stopwatch I'm using here, so I'm going to get it going so I can verify the exact amount of time I'm going. Well, thanks, Jeff. I appreciate it. And it is just good to be part of this church, and it is good to be part of a church that loves the gospel, loves Scripture, loves Christ, loves the church, and loves to see the church advance in the world, which is an amazing thing. There is no greater joy than to witness the miracles you witness as Christ moves in and tears down the gates of hell. You know, it's hell that builds the gates, and it's Christ's church that tears it down, right? He says, he says that the gates of Hades will not prevail against the church that I'm building. And so this is the great thing to see that, to witness that, and to be a part of that. And as Jeff mentioned, I am with To Every Tribe Mission Agency in Los Fresnos, and our main heart is to plant churches around the world, specifically among the unreached people groups. And we have many people throughout the history of To Every Tribe that have attended Logos. Some of you know the Green Ups, who were part of ministry first season. They trained down here. And we have To Every Tribers here in the room. If you are with To Every Tribe right now, would you stand up for a second? I'm just going to make you stand. There you go, Kyle. There you go. Yep. All right. So get a chance to get to know them. They are wonderful people. I don't have the time to unpack all that they do, but we've got staff members here, we've got trainers here, we've got missionaries in training that attend this church here, and they're here because of Christ, the gospel, and the love of the mission that is present here. And I'm just glad that we get to partner with it. I'm glad that my church that I attend is going to connect with the place that I serve in ministry, and that together we can proclaim Christ among the nations. But my goal here today is just to share with you a little bit about the work of To Every Tribe. Specifically, we do work in several nations, but I want to specifically focus on some of the work we do in northern Mexico, and to share with you about how we plant churches, share with you a little bit of the mission and the approach that we use to church planting. And that will then set up Nathan to be able to come and explain how that's going to apply in San Benito. But to begin, I want to just give you the purpose or our vision or mission statement. It'll be on the screen behind me. It says this, that To Every Tribe exists to extend the worship of Christ among all peoples by mobilizing the church, training disciple makers, and sending missionary teams to plant churches among the unreached. So that's what our mission agency does. And in order to do that, people come down here. They spend 2 years serving as a missionary in northern Mexico. with alongside, we mentor them and coach them and train them and bring in trainers. And then after that 2-year period, they then will launch them to wherever the Lord has opened the door to go, where there's unreached people groups. Right now, that's for us 5 different countries. But some stick around. Some work in northern Mexico, and that's one of the places that we work. But to really kind of highlight our purpose and our heart, I just want to kind of just share like 4 things out of that mission statement that I think are essential. Okay, the first is that we want to see Christ worshiped among the nations. That is just critical to us. That's really the driving end goal. It isn't just a church, it's that Christ would be exalted. He's the King of Kings, He's the Lord of Lords, He's the one that breaks down the gates of hell, and He is deserves to be worshiped among the nations, as Jeff mentioned in Psalm 67. We want to work with local churches to do this. We believe that the church is the bride of Christ, and we believe that the church is what is to be advancing, and our job is just to help blow wind in the sails of churches to plant churches. We want to prepare people to make disciples. And we want to do that by training them to cross cultures and to do the hard work of leaving, you know, their home culture to go into another culture and engage with the gospel. And we want to do that by sending teams to do that, to plant churches. And that's really the heartbeat of To Every Tribe. And the early days of our ministry was spent in northern Mexico, where we began that's really where the heartbeat began of the mission. And it was to plant churches among the remote villages of northern Mexico, so the places that had been forgotten, or the places that didn't have money, and some places didn't have running water, and just these small places, and we would send people out there, and we still do. And in fact, one of the communities that we're working in, there's a church already forming, and it's exciting to see a network of pastors forming in Matamoros that are going and helping with these churches in these remote locations, and it's amazing things that are going on, and yet we felt there was one more piece that was needed. A church on this side of the border that would help support and care for and love on the churches on the other side of the border, and a heartbeat where we could get into a community and recognize that the Rio Grande area is just one giant region with a river that goes through it. And there's a real deep relationship in many ways between both sides of the border, and we recognize that there are some transnational families. Some people were, you know, one parent lives on this side, another parent lives on the other side. And so what we want to do is just get into the community and minister and pray that the Lord would see another church emerge that would then join the whole network of churches that are forming throughout northern Mexico. And we'd love to see this just go all the way up from here to Laredo. Just keep planting churches. And that would be our heart. Now, how do we do this? How do we plant churches? I want to give you an overview of how we do this. There are 2 ways, basically, you can plant a church. One way is what's called the porch light strategy. These are just my terms. Porch light strategy. Porch light, what happens when you turn your porch light on at night? Turn your porch light on at night, a bunch of bugs just come, get attracted to it. And you can kind of do that in church planting. You could say, hey, we're going to go rent a building. We're going to get a band. We're going to get a bunch of advertisement. We're going to turn the lights on. We're going to have children's program, youth program. We'll put an ad out in the paper. We got a church forming, and see who comes. And let the formal structure attract people. That's one way you can plant a church. That's the predominant way church planting happens in the United States. So when you think of starting a church in a location, you might think of this porch light approach. We're going to get a building. We're going to put people in there, and we'll let the building and the programs attract the people. That is not a wrong way to plant a church. That is one way to plant a church. There's a second way that you can plant a church, though. And that second way is what I like to call the searchlight. The searchlight is different than the porch light in that the searchlight is out searching. It's going after people. And so instead of taking all that energy you would put into starting a formal institution or a formal church, you're pouring all that energy to getting involved in a community. And you're getting involved to meet people who do not know Christ, to share Christ with them, to make disciples. And as 1 and 2 and 3 and 4 disciples come together, we then help them identify as a local church, help them start a church, and help it become a literal local church that is developed first and foremost by conversion growth, not transfer growth. the porch light sometimes gets transfer growth. Some people think, hey, that church is probably cooler than the church I'm going to. I'm going to go to it. And they leave their church. What we want to do is say, hey, we want to, so our approach is to go the searchlight approach. We want to start with a local, with the evangelism in a community, reaching out to that community, helping people form into a local church. In our ministry, we call this the eight phases, and there's going to be a slide up that's going to pop these eight phases up. I don't have time to walk you through all eight of these phases, but the idea is when we train missionaries to go out, we train them to first, what we say, arrive. You go to a location, and you have a reason for being there. Maybe you're coaching something, or you're serving in some way. You're getting to know the people living in their world, and through serving, you're building trust with people. Then once you build trust, that opens up doors to all kinds of conversations because they're going to know you're a Christian and they're going to ask you questions and you're going to have a conversation about what they believe and you're going to have a conversation with you believe. And as that spiritual conversation opens up, the Lord opens doors for gospel conversations where then you start sharing Christ with people. And then as God's opening people's eyes, you can nurture them and help disciple them. And then you've got to help them because becoming a Christian sometimes doesn't make your life easier. Sometimes it makes it harder. Maybe a wife becomes a Christian and her husband's not a Christian. And now there's some conflict. And so we want to get in there and help people solve some of those problems and then discover their gifts. And from discovering their gifts, affirm them and affirm a local church forming. That's the approach that we take. And so what I want to do now is turn it over to Nathan. And Nathan's going to come up and talk about how do we do this. Now, Nathan is a missionary with To Every Tribe. He has served as a missionary before he came to To Every Tribe in Guatemala. But he completed the To Every Tribe training process. Prior to coming, in between being a missionary in Guatemala and coming to us, he was a missions pastor at an Acts 29 church in College Station. But the thing that I like about him is that he is a missional guy and a churchman. And so what I want to do is invite him up here to share how we're going to take this searchlight approach and what he and his family are going to do to preach Christ and make disciples in San Benito. So Nathan, come on up.
How'd you do, Steve?
10 minutes, 3.42 seconds.
We didn't know about this bet that Jeff had until he got up here and started talking, so now I feel like there's some pressure here. It's a joy always to gather at the church body, but as Steve just mentioned, I was a missions pastor before coming and joining a missions agency to be trained as a missionary. So I get especially excited when we talk about how, as a church, we are going to join in with what God is already doing to push back the darkness, to see lives transformed, and to see a healthy, gospel-centered church planted. One thing that's really neat about this Sunday is there's a lot of churches that have Mission Sundays, and they're great events, they're great opportunities to pray, to mobilize people, to get excited about missions. But what we're talking about is saying, we as a church are going to be engaging a community just 10, 15 minutes away, and we fully expect to see many people from our church engaging in this mission practically, engaging in this mission by prayer, and we expect to see a healthy, gospel-centered church that transforms the city planted in the near future. And so this is an exciting, serious morning. As Steve mentioned, my wife and I, we were a part of an Acts 29 church before moving down to the valley to connect with To Every Tribe. So when we found that there's this Acts 29 church in Harlingen, not only did it remind us of home, but it's just been a joy to be a part of this church. Because just like so many of you, my family believes strongly in the local church. We don't believe that God just saves individuals who will worship him, though that's good. We believe that God is making himself a people from every tongue, tribe, and nation, and all cities of the world. And that as that body of Christ, we gather into local churches in our cities so that we can worship him together and live in community together and engage our city with the gospel together. And so this is the burden that my wife and I have had for a while. This is why we loved our church in College Station. This is why we love being a part of Logos, of course, gathering on Sunday mornings, but even the friendships and encouraging relationships we have with so many of you. And this is the burden that leads us to want to plant churches. When we came 2 years ago, we had a burden. Wherever God would send us, we want to be involved in planting churches where there aren't gospel-centered churches reaching their city. And we didn't realize that during those 2 years, our heart would get focused and say, man, it's the northern Mexico, Rio Grande Valley area that we want to serve. And then over the past year, even letting that narrow even more. And we're excited about Mission San Benito. And so our heart is to see this region flooded with gospel-centered, healthy churches. As Steve just mentioned, kind of the spotlight approach and turning on the light approach, the goal is not how fast can we have a service. We like fast results, but the goal is how can we have a healthy, gospel-preaching, Bible-based church, not just in the near future, but even in 20 years, 30 years to come, generations to come. How can we have a strong, established church that is reaching its city and spilling over into the region all around it? And so because of that, we go about this church planting process in a very strategic way with the end goal in mind. We're not starting services as fast as we can. And so for my family, what that means is that we want to become fully a part of San Benito. We want to engage lost people of San Benito, because we want to see a San Benito church emerge. And we don't expect to do this on our own. And we really don't expect to ultimately be the leaders of this church. We want to see leaders developed, leaders step up to the plate of San Benito who say, I love my city. I want to help lead in this effort. I want to help engage my city in this effort. And so for my family and I, we've been here for 2 weeks. We moved 2 weeks ago. And we love the city, we've loved the people we've connected with, but there's so much relationship building that's going on for us. And so we're engaging our neighborhood, we're engaging Piper's school, our daughter's school, we're engaging and looking for volunteer opportunities. We're looking for city influencers, whether it's a government official, a city councilman, a school principal, people who can kind of help open the doors for disciple making and church planting. And we're building relationships with Logos people who live in San Benito, who, as we're talking about this morning, you're thinking to yourself, I want to be a part of that. I want to see my city reached with the gospel. I want to see a healthy church planted. And so, like I said before, this isn't just about one family doing this or two families doing this. This is about a community doing this. And so one thing that we're really excited about launching this fall, around the time of moving into the new church building in September, is we will be starting a San Benito missional community. So this is different than a San Benito CG, in the sense that the primary purpose is not caring for one another, studying the Bible together, shepherding one another, though that will happen. The primary purpose is being a community of people who live in San Benito that have a heart for living missionally in the city. And so whether that's gathering, whether that's encouraging one another, whether that's prayer, the focus is how can we engage the lost in the city to begin to see people come to know Jesus? Because the hope is that as people come to know Jesus in the city, a San Benito church would emerge. So if you live in San Benito and you're hearing this and you're thinking, man, I'm excited about this. This is something I want to be a part of. Let me invite you to come and talk with me today after the service or sometime in the near future. Or if you miss me today, talk with Jeff or Chris or somebody. Get in contact with us because we want to talk with you about how you can come alongside of us and join us in this mission. Secondly, if you're someone who, you don't live in San Benito, you live in Harlingen. This is a church in Harlingen. But maybe you have a friend or a family member or a contact in San Benito. We are in relationship building mode. We want to build as many relationships throughout the city, Christians and non-Christians, as we can. And so again, come find us, come talk with us. We'd love to consider how we can connect with anyone that you might know in the city. And then finally, we believe that this mission cannot succeed unless God moves. And so just as the Apostle Paul asked many different local churches to pray that him and his missionary team would be faithful to the gospel, and he asked them to pray that doors would open for the gospel to advance, we ask that you would pray for this missional community, that we'd be faithful to the gospel, and that God would open up doors for the gospel to advance. Let's pray together. Father, it's an exciting thing that you are a missionary God, and we can come alongside of you in your mission. We believe that you have greater things in store for Harlingen, that you have greater things in store for San Benito, that you have greater things in store for this entire region. Thank you for including us. Thank you for letting us as a church join in with this mission. God, we pray that for our church, man, there's such a missionary heartbeat in this church. We want to see our city reach. We want to see this region reach. We want to plant churches. Please help us to not lose that. Please help us to continue to live as evangelists in this world. Lord, as we get excited with many others in the church to engage the city of San Benito with the gospel, we know that people cannot come to know you unless you open their hearts to the gospel. We know that a church will not be established unless you move. And so, Lord, we beg you to move. You have to do it. And we put this mission in your hands, and we trust you. God, I pray in the months and years to come that you will give us wisdom. Help us to know the best ways that how we as a church can pray and serve and engage to be most helpful for the mission. Lord, we love you. And we love that we get to be on mission as one body. In Jesus' name, amen. Each week at Logos, we get the opportunity to take the Lord's Supper together, and we'll be doing that at this time. If those who are assisting with the Lord's Supper would come forward. We do this regularly because Jesus commanded the church to remember him and his perfect sacrifice in this way. As we take the bread and the juice, we're reminded that not only are we united to Christ by faith, but we're united to one another. We're united to the entire body of Christ, who this morning in all cities all around the world are taking the bread and the juice, remembering the perfect sacrifice of Christ. As we take the bread that's broken before us, we remember how Jesus' body was broken so that the power of sin would be broken in our lives. And as we take the juice, it's beautiful symbolism, we can remember that Jesus' blood has washed us clean in the eyes of the Father. There's no more guilt, no more shame. And I want you to reflect on that this morning, whether that's something you've done far away in your past or whether that's this morning. If you are in Christ, you are clean in the eyes of God, and we can celebrate that this morning. Those scriptures are clear that this is a meal to be celebrated by Christians. And so whether you're a member of Logos or not, if you're a believer in Christ, we invite you to take the Lord's Supper with us. But if you are not yet trusting in Christ, we ask that instead of taking the bread and the juice, that you would pray and you would consider the call of the gospel. And instead of taking of the elements this morning, that you would take hold of Christ. If you come to him this morning in faith and repentance, he will receive you. So believers, when you're ready, you can come and take of the Lord's Supper.